So let's talk about testing ourselves. You know, I think you'll agree with me that our relationship with the Lord is never just flat or static. It's very dynamic. It's very dynamic in what I always say, it goes from glory to glory. And the scriptures testify of that. And I say glory to glory because even our most downward times that we experience growth. Even the worst of the times we're growing. We don't know that in the middle of that, but we're growing all the time. And God is purifying our faith. You know, the trial comes, the trial goes. We're left with the fruit of the Spirit. Did you ever notice that? You get these heavy trials in your life and all of a sudden it ends and it's like there's a big fruit basket in your heart, you know? I mean, it's in your heart there. So, you know, the assumption here is that in this particular chapter, is that the true believer always moves forward, even though sometimes we think we're going backwards. The believer might hit those roadblocks, and I've hit a lot of them. You know, the difficulty along the way, but the true believer trusts in the Lord. You know, the parable of the sower, pretty interesting parable that Jesus spoke out in the Gospels. Had four type of people. Those that hear the word of God, they do not understand it. And when it does come into their lives, it says the wicked one or the devil snatches it, that seed, out of their lives. They never get it. The second is those that receive the seed. It's on stony ground. And you've seen this. I've seen that Christians or unbelievers, that they have this great joy for a little bit, and then it kind of dies out because that seed hit rocky ground. The tribulation comes, the persecution comes, and you know you don't see them again. You don't see them, and that's sad. It's sad. The third type, though, is that those that receive the amongst the thorns, the world chokes out. You know, it says the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then the fourth is the one that I love. I'm part of that. You're part of this. The fourth is those that receive the seed on good ground. We understand it, and it takes root, and it bears fruit. That's the four types of people that the Lord ministered to in the gospel. You know, out of the four types of people, there's only one that's a Christian, those that bear fruit. And the parable, though, is kind of a testing. You know, what type of ground, what type of environment, what type of understanding, you know, good soil, good environment, good understanding bears good fruit. It's kind of a testing in that. You know, the Holy Spirit is always testing us. The Holy Spirit's always testing us, or I would say trying us also. It's always forward progress, though, of bearing good fruit. And that's the life of the believer. The life of the believer is always going to go forward, always is going to bear that fruit. Now, the trying or the testing is not for the benefit of God. He already knows what we're thinking and doing and, you know, what's happening in our life. It's for our benefit. It's for our benefit to know where we're at with our relationship with the Lord. God wants us to know where we're at with Him. I think that's really important. Are we growing? Are we stalling? And this can happen to all of us. Are we growing? Are we stalling? Are we going backwards? And sometimes that happens also. But those are the things God wants us to be aware of in our relationship with Him. So it's no surprise when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul tells us, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So this is the kind of God examination where the Lord puts us through the various trials to reveal where we're at with Him. It's important. This is what this particular chapter is about. That trial reveals the cracks, right? Do you ever have, it kind of puts you where you're at. And But then there's this self-examination where we test ourselves, to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith, and I would say whether we are at the faith in a particular time of your life. I mean, there's so many different circumstances. 1 John chapter 2 is a great chapter about testing ourselves. And what we're going to look at today, and it's very clear in the chapter, we're going to see testing our relationship with the Lord. Testing our relationship with the Lord. Testing our sanctification. That means, are we progressing? Are we going on with the Lord? And then the last, so there's the three: testing our relationship, testing our sanctification, and then also testing our discernment. That's important to God too, that we see really clearly what's going on around us. So let's look at testing our relationship. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. One of the things that we have to understand in this chapter is John is addressing Christians. He says, my little children, my little children. I always call that a term of endearment, and it's reserved for the believer. We're God's children. Children of God, children of the Most High, my little children, I'm writing to you so you don't sin. I'm writing to you so you don't sin. I saw a post on Facebook a while back, and it had the question. It says, you know, if you had 1 hour to sit and talk with anybody, anyone, who would it be, deceased or not or whatever? And most people said, oh man, my father passed away back. I'd love to sit down and talk to him again, or my mother or cousins or anything. My personal one would be, I want to talk to God. I really want to talk to you. I have a lot of unanswered questions. I have a lot of unanswered. And one of the main questions that I would ask him is, why, after redeeming us, did you leave us in this stinking, rotten body of ours, and we're going to still sin? We're going to still sin. If I were God, and I'm not, so I would have. It would have been nice to, after the redemption of the soul, that we would become super Christians and we never sin again. That would be great for me. And we will have that, but only when we're in the presence of the Lord. You know, I hate sin, and I hate when I sin. I really do. I hate when I sin. I blow it. You know, you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. If I would have had any prayer answered, it would be, please let me stop sinning. Please let me stop sinning. John writes this letter to the believers that they would not sin. But John knows that, even the Apostle John, the super Apostle John, knows that we're going to sin. We're going to sin. And so that's why he puts it there. If anyone sins, we have that advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atonement for our sins. So he puts this first before he begins to speak about testing. And I think it's important. And I love the fact that that happens, because we're talking about testing our relationship with God. And he sets the premise, first of all, on the principle of forgiveness. The principle of forgiveness. You know, at this principle, or the premise of the forgiveness of sins, it's critical that we understand that we're forgiven of our sins, and that there's an ongoing forgiveness that enters into our life. And he extends this premise first to those that already believe, and I think it's critical to understand the ongoing need for forgiveness. We need to be able to forgive ourselves and let God forgive us, you might say. We are forgiven, but we need consistent attention on forgiveness. Some of us are a little easier on ourselves than others. Some of us are kind of rough on ourselves. I'm probably my biggest critic. I'm kind of rough on myself. I need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit, we have an advocate with the Father. He's the atonement for our sin and for the whole world. Forgiveness to the believer is always ongoing. So forgiveness also extends to those that might not believe as of yet. There's that to be able to proclaim the forgiveness of sin to others. You know, that work of Christ is sufficient for all. Now, it's important we understand that John slips these first two verses in, that the remaining verses, the test of our relationship, now it'll make more sense. It'll make a little bit more sense. When we speak about our relationship with God, John gives us two points of testing that we might know that we know God. Two points of testing. Look at verse 3. It says, now, by this we know that we know him, if we can keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we are in him. And he who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. So Jesus said, if you love me, you remember when he was talking to the disciples, Last Supper, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, obedience has always been a test of the relationship with God. Notice John says that we know him if we're obeying him, or our obedience to the word or obedience to the commandments of Christ, they're a test of our relationship with God. Now, a person that claims to be a Christian yet walks in the ways of the world is not a Christian at all. And we're talking about a permanent person. They don't acknowledge God at all. I'm a Christian, and their life is a mess. Their life is full of disobedience. You can honestly nail it down. Yeah, you don't really know the Lord. Now, the person... A simple, loving obedience is the proof that we do know him. And as we keep the word, this is an ongoing process in us. I hopefully obey the Lord more than I did when I first came to the Lord. I know more of his will, for sure. I know how to obey him a little bit more. And I still sin. We have that advocate. I still sin. But there's a progression there. Jesus said, if you abide in the vine, and I love this, God's work is perfected in you. You're just hanging in there. You hang in the vine, or abide in the vine, and that work is perfected in you. So the goal is to walk as Jesus walked in the world. That's that simple. What happens if we disobey his commandments? And that's where the first two verses come in. He's not talking about a Christian that falls from time to time. He's talking about a sinner, the habitual sinner, you might say. Now, someone that stumbles on occasions, but the one that presses forward, eventually they're going to bear good fruit. You know, I worry less about the struggler than I do the slacker. When you think about it, the struggler is concerned about his spiritual health. He's struggling. She's struggling. Maybe the particular part of God hasn't healed something in their life, and they struggle with it, but they keep getting back up. That's the struggler. I worry a lot less about them than the guy that doesn't care about God at all. The slacker could care less. They could care less about God. The struggler is concerned about pleasing God. And it bums us out when we don't please God. It affects us. The slacker just pleases himself. He just pleases himself. The struggler attempts to obey the commandments. And the slacker just walks in the ways of the world. That's the difference he's saying here. He's not saying that if you blow it one time, you're not a Christian. You guys understand that, making that clear. John is very clear about that. Then he gives us the second test of relationship with him, How do you treat others? I think this is really important. How we treat others. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. He's repeating what Jesus said at the Last Supper, by the way, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He's talking about relationships there, how we treat people. I'm often amazed how Christians treat people, and I'm not saying that in a good way. I am suspicious of any person that calls himself a Christian yet has all these nefarious dealings with people, one after another, offending them, you know, all the different things that you can do when they're dealing with their brothers and sisters. And, you know, that suspicions, it's not a paranoid feeling. You could see that they haven't grown in that area at all. But the rooted in these verses tell me that my relationship to God is directly related to my relationship with my brothers and sisters. It's directly related. It's a test. You guys know what litmus paper is? It's a test like that. If we say we're walking in the light, that we know Christ, and we treat our brothers and sisters like dirt, are we really walking in the light? Are we really walking? We're really walking in darkness. The proof of abiding in the light is our love toward one another. Now, does that mean we don't have problems with each other? No, you know. You guys know, you have problems once in a while with each other, and those are the things. I really encourage people that if they do have problems, they work it out. They always work it out. They it's not that difficult. It's generally humility on one end of the person to be able to work that out. An apology, a clarification, anything like that. I'm really into that, is trying to work it out. You know, we can be a menace to other Christians, and other Christians, they can be a menace to us. I know that. I've had different relationships in my life that were more difficult than others. And you're not always going to get along perfectly with everyone, but the person John is singling out here is the one that consistently exhibits ill will toward their brothers and sisters. Somebody, you know, they're not showing out love. They're critical. They're hard on people, different things like that. Legalistic people are very much like that. They don't have that love of God in their heart. They look at and they judge other Christians. So here's what it comes down to. The simple test is that you cannot say you love God and hate his children. It's that simple. It's not that difficult. Not like they say rocket scientists, right? It's not rocket science. So you have these two tests of our relationship with God. So when you're testing yourself, obedience to his commandments, right? And the love for your brothers and sisters. Those are the two simple tests in a relationship with God that John gives us in these first few verses. Now, there's also a testing of our sanctification. And God wants to test our sanctification. I look at sanctification, very simple, as progress in the faith, right? Progress. You're making progress in the faith. And he maps out typical progress at different stages in your walk. He says the new, he says little children. The young men, he says growing and stable, right? And then I'm going to read it in a second. And the fathers, the mature. Those are different stages of our walk. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. You could see when you look at verse 13, there's progress there. There's progress. Even as a young Christian, there's progress of growing. And, you know, as you get older in the Lord, you've overcome the wicked one. He's a big enemy to us. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You see the progress there. That's testing our sanctification. But the real test of sanctification comes with how we separate ourselves from the world. This is really important. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it's a pretty simple test. If you love the world more than you love the Lord, the love of the Father is not in you. One of the fruits of an ongoing and progressive relationship with the Lord is that of sanctification. And it means to separate ourselves from, okay? Separate ourselves from the world, right? But there's this other part of sanctification you really need to understand, is that we need to separate ourselves to the Lord. So it's separating from the world and then going and separating ourselves to the Lord. Some of the early prophets sanctified themselves to the Lord. They separated themselves to the ministry of the word. One of the very early processes of sanctification is God does separate us from the world. He does separate us. Remember those times when you're born again and he begins to take away all those outward sins that are very dangerous for your spiritual health? And they're a danger to your relationship with God. And he continues to separate us from those things. And it's amazing as we discover more and more, as we get closer and closer to the Lord, that we understand that being part of the world is a lot more than just giving up drinking or giving up immoral behavior. It's comes in the heart, pretty much comes in the heart. So you're sanctifying yourself to the Lord in your heart. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides you and you have overcome the wicked one. So he continues to separate us from those things of the world. But the process of sanctification, it's really not complete until you separate to the Lord. Separate to the Lord. And separate yourself to him. And that is not a group thing. Well, we could do that as a group. We can separate this church to the Lord, but it's a real intimate thing where you are separating yourself and your life to the Lord. And it's no wonder that John uses this test of sanctification in verse 15. He says, do not love the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So an alliance with the world is an affront to God. It's an affront to God. And when you say the world, we mean the worldly wisdom or the worldly system. And he describes it, though, in verse 16, for all that is in the world, and you could put all the sins of the world into these three categories, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but that is of the world. So the sure sign that you're separated from, but you're not separated to, is that you have this fascination with the world. You have this affair with the world, you might say. It could be the lust of the flesh. It could be the lust of the eyes. It could be the pride of life. But here's the real commandment of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So to love the world and to love God, they're mutually exclusive. Even Jesus said that you cannot love money and love me at the same time. It just doesn't happen. So The next thing, though, we're going to look at is testing our discernment. And this is really important. God wants to test our discernment, to sharpen our spiritual discernment, how we perceive things. I'm amazed how many Christians lack any kind of spiritual discernment. I've seen a lot of young Christians or even older Christians just make dumb mistakes, not looking at the whole picture. People with no or bad discernment always make bad choices. They always make bad choices. And the bad choices eventually always lead to sin. That's what happens. And that's because the famine of the word of God in the world today. There's a big famine. Now, they're doing something in Washington. I didn't quite understand it. They're reading the Word of God. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing. I think they're reading the whole Bible out loud. And I didn't quite read all of it, but it's kind of amazing they're doing that, because that's what the United States, that's what the world needs. But the United States in particular, they need the Word of God. They need the Word of God. And that famine that's in the land, it's spread everywhere, and we get our discernment from the Word of God. You don't get it from the Book of Wisdom or, you know, the Buddhism or any of the Eastern wisdom things. You get it from the Word of God. And if you're not reading the Word of God, your spiritual senses, they grow dull. They will grow dull. Little children, it is the last hour. And if you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. John, you know, the last apostle to be alive, is beginning to see all the false doctrine enter into the church. Discernment is not just rightly dividing the word, that's important, but discernment also comes by understanding the times that we live in. It's really important to understand where we're at with that, discerning the times. John understood that we're living in the last days. And now, the last days started with the disciples. It hasn't ended yet. We're in the last days, you might say. So discernment by the Word of God, but discerning the times that we live. Discerning the times that we live. You know, God understood that John understood that we're living in the last days. Today, if you speak about those things, people, you're nuts. You know, you're kind of nuts if you speak about those things. And today, if you speak about anything about, you know, the rapture, the Antichrist, all those things. But, you know, John is also talking about the false prophets or the false Christ that have walked away from the Lord, or the, you know, false Christians that have walked away from the Lord. Here he says this in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have been continued with us, but they went out from us that they might be made manifest, and none of them were of us. So we can often discern the true and the false by watching consistent behavior in a person's life. And I'm not saying to judge them or anything, but you know, the consistent behavior or the consistent character of a person's life. You know, here's the thing. Real Christians bounce back. They'll sin, but they bounce back. And that's a really important thing. One of the ways of testing our discernment is what kind of teaching that we allow into our lives. What kind of teaching that we allow into our lives. And we understand that because we have an anointing from God to spot the false. We have an anointing from God. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but him who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So it's interesting because people can deny, You can deny the Lord in a lot of different ways. You can deny him outrightly. I don't know him. I don't believe in him. Whatever. I don't care about him. I don't care about God. I don't believe in God. You can also deny him by walking contrary to what the Lord teaches. And many false prophets had gone out and, they proclaimed Jesus in their own name. And, Jesus never had a Rolls Royce. He never had a jet. And you see some of these people, he didn't own anything. He didn't own a house. He didn't own anything. He didn't beg for money. Jesus never denied the character of the Father. But he was true because he walked just like the Father. He just walked as that. When John talks about testing discernment, he's talking about following people that acknowledge the Son and the Father both in word and character. You guys understand that. Our character is to reflect Jesus. Our character is to reflect Jesus. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. I think there's a lot of people critical when you mention the name or the word doctrine. But, doctrine is our foundation. It's our foundation. It's what we believe in. And I think it's important to understand that. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Now, we talked a lot last week about the different doctrines of the day, Gnosticism, the false teachings of the day, the false teachers of the day. The big problem with false teachers is that people follow them. That's the big problem. People follow false teachers. And it's amazing, people read in the Bible and they understand the basic principles of the scriptures, yet they follow after the teachings that directly contradicts what the Bible teaches or what the Word of God teaches. When you see people on TV directly contradicting the scriptures, begging for money, putting on a show, all those different things, you know in your heart that there ain't something right about that. There's something wrong about that picture. We know in our hearts that there's something wrong because the Holy Spirit teaches us that we're to look and we're to observe who Jesus is and we're to walk as he walked. And I say that, best we can. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. John wants us to trust that spiritual gut feeling that we have in our heart. And the only way you get that gut feeling is by the Word of God. By the Word of God. So, verse 27, it says, But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as he has taught, you will abide in him. So there is this anointing in us that is perpetuated by the Word of God, consuming the Word of God in your life. I'm not a great consumer of the Word of God in the sense of that I don't read volumes. That's not, you just get into the Bible. Get into the Bible. Simple reading. You can read a psalm, you can read a book, you can read a few verses, it doesn't matter. But it sharpens the discernment in your life. So testing our discernment, and that is the Word of God. So we've been talking about this, examining ourselves or testing ourselves. We looked at testing our relationships, and that's obedience and relationship with other Christians. That's the testing our relationship with God. Testing our sanctification has to do with, are we separated from the world? Are we separated from the world? And Jesus even said that. You can't leave the world, but you can separate yourself from the world. And then finally, the testing our discernment, and I would say equipping ourselves to test the spirits, whether they're of the Lord. Equipping ourselves, and that would be by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. That was back in Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Test yourself. That's where I actually got the title. You know, we're not perfect Christians. We're not. You're never going to be a perfect Christian, not in this lifetime. And we're always going to need the ongoing forgiveness of sin in our life. Put that in your heart today that, you know, when you blow it, we have an advocate with the Father. We can come to him right away and we can ask for forgiveness. Don't let the devil trick you and say, well, you got to do a little penance first or something like that. Maybe crawl on your knees with marbles for 2 days and then you can get, you don't want that. You could go, that curtain was split when he died on the cross. You could go straight into the holiest of holies and ask for forgiveness right away. And you might not feel like you even got forgiven, but God honors that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. We're always going to need that ongoing forgiveness in our life, and you're always going to need the advocacy of Jesus to, you know, he's Christ, Jesus Christ the righteous. A true Christian walks in obedience to the Word of God, and that's ongoing. A true Christian allows the Holy Spirit to sanctify his life. And a true Christian has the eagle eye discernment produced from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's important. So test yourself. Test yourself in those things. Finally, the last two verses I just want to read and we'll end the sermon. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So, would you guys stand?